17, the 17th Psalm. Psalm 17. Hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. David is a man after God's own heart. You'll notice that this psalm, a lot of times we ignore those little headings underneath the psalm, but this tells you this is a psalm of David. Now, it would be easy and tempting for you to go through the psalms and say, ugh, another psalm of David. What's the big deal? Well, here's the big deal. You ready? David's psalms, many of them, they were able to trace to specific events. But David's prayer life was so prolific that psalm after psalm after psalm could only be recognized as a psalm of David. He was such a man of prayer. His prayers could not always be traced to a specific event. It was just his normal course of life. So are you with me? David is a man after God's own heart. You let me say, it is impossible to be a man after God's own heart and not to be a person of prayer. David was a man after God's own heart because he was a man of prayer. Now you think about that. He is the king of one of the most, God on your side, you let me say, the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. They sang songs about him. Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. He was a fierce warrior on the battlefield. But if you ask David, what is the secret to your success? Is this a battle trained, battle warrior, battle hardened king with resources? He would say, the Lord. And so you don't see him in these psalms crying out to the military to save him. You do not see him crying out to other nations to save him. You see him crying out to the Lord. Again, there is no specific event tied with Psalm 17. David's prayer life is his normal course of business, his normal course of daily events. So we sing the song, ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? Father, we come to you this evening as we look at this psalm and we're reminded that David, a man after your own heart, was a man of prayer. We desire this evening to be challenged to be people of prayer. So as we deal with prayer this evening, and again, I'm going to push aside a Sunday morning message to bring this Sunday another message on prayer life from the New Testament, from the Apostle Paul. I pray that we would be motivated to be people of prayer, and that we here at Lighthouse Baptist Church would be known as a people after God's own heart. Speak to us, convict us for that prayer life that is not what it ought to be. May this evening we pledge to make prayer our priority. Well, thank you for what you do this evening. It is in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're going to read verses 1 through 15. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence, let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. And a lot of good biblical admonitions from the life of David. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me. Look at that confidence, O God. Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. David was a man that believed that God heard and answered prayer. I have said that over the years, and every once in a while, someone will listen to that message on the website, and I'll get a feedback through the website, and it'll say, could you tell me in the Bible where it says that God delights to hear and answer prayer? I know that I'm talking to a person that doesn't pray. David was confident that God heard and answered his prayers, but he was a man of prayer. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, verse 7. O thou that saveth by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Verse 8 means a lot to me. Farm kid on the farm. I was the chicken man. I kept the chickens. I was in charge of them from the time I was just a little guy. And I remember when I had a sitting hen, and we had 12 little baby chicks running around. And so I think the fifth grade maybe, and I took those little chicks to school. And the principal let me take those to two kindergarten classes, three first grade classes, three second grade classes, three third grade classes. And when I got to the third grade class, the teacher said, who's the chicken man? Well, that would be me. And she said, so tell me, why is the chicken pecking under its wings? Well, I don't know. I don't know. She said, what kind of a chicken man are you? You don't know your chickens. But what I did know about those chickens is when a snake came around or a predator came around, that mother hen would put her wings out. Man, you just didn't see a chicken put their wings out very often. She would gather those chicks underneath of her. And boy, I'll tell you what, she's going to peck at your leg. You come near her, she's going to protect them. David understands that a lot of what we see in God's Word are farming terms. This is a normal course of life. And he says, hide me under the shadow of thy wings, from the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. Now the world will look at verse 9 and they would say, we're surrounded, hope is lost. Not David. David would be the kind of warrior that would say, we have the enemy right where we want them. They've gathered themselves together. They have compassed me about. And God is going to deliver. And David trusted God to do that. They have compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth, like as a lion that is greedy of his prey. And as it were, a young lion lurking in secret places. And what does David do in verse 13? He prays. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword, from men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure. They are full of children and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. But we're different, are we not? Lay not up for yourselves treasures on this earth, where moth or rust doth corrupt, where thieves do break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. David's treasure was not on this earth. David's treasure was in heaven. But man, this is all they have. And so they fight to protect it. They fight to get it. They fight to keep it. But David had a different mindset, a different outlook, as should we. Verse 15, he summarizes it. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I win the lottery, when I have a big bank account, when I have a huge portfolio. Not David. Now, he had all those things. But he said, I will behold thy faith in righteousness. I will be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. And that is the reason why David is a man after God's own heart. He's not looking, and Solomon had that same mindset. Well, what do you want? You want victory in battle? You want great riches? What do you want? He said, I want wisdom to be able to rule your people according to your word. Sad that that is not often the case in our prayer life. Gimme, gimme, gimme. So as you look at the psalm, many times you can look at the different divisions in a particular psalm. I would suggest 4, verses 1 through 4. David prepares and presents his case for justice from his enemies. Verses 5 and 6. You see David requesting God to act rightly while he is under this trial, whatever it may be. And I'm thankful that David, that they cannot attribute to David in every single psalm the trial that he was going through. Because we would have a tendency to say, well, he faced the Amorites, that's why. He's facing the Philistines. That's why. And I'm not facing the Philistines, so that's not there to help me. And I think, again, his prayer life so open, so prolific, so passionate, they cannot define them. But that says to me, I don't need to define my trouble. God is my helper. God was David's helper. Verse 7 through 12, you can see David requesting protection from those that oppose him. I do not know what is on the mind of those who are in opposition, the enemy. But God does. God does. He absolutely does. And then verse 13 and 14, David pleads that his foes may be disappointed. And then verse 15, he shows his confidence in the Lord. And you ought to have confidence in the Lord. Now let's look at 3 of those this evening. Let's look at David's troubled heart. And it is troubled. And I don't have to ask you this evening how many of you have been troubled. And I don't have to ask this evening how many of you are troubled right now. Because as the day, so is the trouble. And as the need for us to say, hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer. Think about the trouble that you would be in if your God was a God of wood. Brother Painter, this past Sunday evening and Sunday school hour, reminded us that he is in a country where pagan idolatry, literally, they have idols of wood that cannot hear, carved out of stone that cannot see, and that cannot answer prayer. But that is not you, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. The wicked and the professors of religion, their God does not hear them. But David's God, if you are a believer, your God hears the right. Hear the right. And David says, my case is solid. I'm doing right. I'm knowingly I'm doing the right thing. David couldn't always say that. But here he could. And the same with Bathsheba. He could not say that. But here he can. What did he need to do with that sin? He needed to make that right with God. And we'll get to that psalm where he does that. There is an ongoing necessity of repentance in the life of the believer. When is the last time You washed your hands. I hope you've washed them several times today. And you should be washing your heart before you try to eat. Feast on God's word. Create in me a clean heart. David crying. And we should definitely do that. We should not allow, I know everybody's got petitions, we should not allow our petitions to be marred by dirty hands and filthy hearts. So make it right. Make it right. Strive to be right. Right is a voice that God will always hear. You say, preacher, I wish I had the confidence that David had. If you are right, you can have that confidence. Listen, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you have zero confidence, and you won't. He'll only hear the prayer of salvation. But if you're a believer, you've trusted Christ. There's been a moment in time when you become guilty before God, and you've received the gift of God, which is eternal life, through Jesus Christ. And you've taken the time, before you eat, feast on God's word, to make sure your heart is right. You can have this confidence that God hears your prayer. Attend. This is earnest. We are blessed to have my daughter-in-law with us for a couple of days. She has blessed our home, graced our home. She has brought, she is special to me because she brought two of the most precious people on the face of this earth to me, grandkids, right? And they are at the house. And so Elizabeth, can I pick on Elizabeth this evening? She's not going to know the difference. Elizabeth, just a little gal, and she's sitting in the high chair. And I'll tell you what, that girl can turn it on, turn it off. she's just incredible to watch her. But men, well, we don't know the difference. We say to the kid, stop your crying, move along. But mom knows when that child is hurt, and moms can hear the difference in a cry when a dad doesn't want to be bothered, and mom knows when something is serious. So imagine here in chapter 17 that David is a child and he cries out to God in a heart that is right and pure and innocent, and with a cry that is desperate. And he has confidence that God hears his prayer. Belgium, train traveling at 75 miles an hour. A bus coming up to the crossing gates decided it did not want to wait. And it looked to the left, then it looked to the right to see if anything was coming, and it did not see anything coming. And so it maneuvered around the gates and crossed just in time to get hit by a train that was traveling 75 miles an hour. I don't know if you've seen the results of a train hitting a vehicle at 75 miles an hour or slower. The train wins every single time. The train always wins. There are four dead. And somebody's in trouble. Don't wait until you've crossed God's warning markers where God said, don't go, danger is coming, before you say, oops, I shouldn't have gone there. And that's late. And David doesn't, for the most part in his life, he does not wait until it's late. He deals with that. Look at verse 3. In the night. Wakes up in the night. What does he do? He seeks the Lord. And you should. You should. David also endures the trials of life. He has a troubled heart because of the trials of life, you would say. This is a quote I came upon as I was reading about Psalm 17. It says this: when men speak ill of you, when men speak ill of thee, live so that no one will believe them. David strived to do that. I was watching a race recently. They were up on a hill. It was steep, steep, steep. And they had all men, because women aren't dumb enough to do this, but men are. And they put all the guys at the top, and their goal was to race to the bottom to see who could get. And so here are these guys running full steam ahead, headlong downhill. And as they get five steps and they'd fall, and then they'd roll a bit and they'd get up and they'd ride, run five more steps down, and not a woman in the bunch. It's a bunch of dumb men. And I'm watching them do this, and I'm thinking, you know, after you fell like 15, 20 times running down this hill and plunged and hurt and broke legs and arms, all kinds of crazy things going on as they're running down this hill, you think you might say, maybe I should walk. Oh no, not these guys. They just kept on going until they got to the bottom. Don't make that your spiritual life. What are you doing? I'm running headlong towards disaster. You keep falling. Stop it. Oh no, no. Just get up and go at it again. How sad that is. And that happened, again, from time to time in David's life, but that is not the case in Psalm 17. David is not running headlong downhill, losing his balance, cracking his skull as he goes, breaking arms and legs, only to get up and say, God, what are you doing? Stop tripping me. God's not the cause. In trouble, a wise handler of a team of horses would not let his horses run full steam downhill. He would grab the reins and pull them back and make sure that that team of horses, that every step was purposeful. And he doesn't want them to trip. He doesn't want to lose his load. He doesn't want it to overturn. And in trouble, you should make sure that every step is purposeful. David is doing that. Verse 6, I have called upon thee. His step in the nighttime, in the daytime, at all times, he's calling. Thus, in verse 7, he can trust the Lord. And he does. And he does. This is a reminder. As I read through Psalm 17, this is not in Psalm 17, but as I was going through the psalm, I was reminded that if Adam, with a perfect heart, in a perfect environment, in the Garden of Eden, stumbled and fell, how much more we need to be like David. Purposeful step, every step in accordance with God's word, making sure our heart is right in the night seasons, in the daytime, with our enemies, with those that would despitefully use us, in trouble, making sure we're putting, let God's word be that lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path, and put your steps down purposefully and confidently. Then you'll be able to say, hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Minnesota has a police chief. He's resigned. He's been under investigation for an inappropriate relationship. They say that he has a bad attitude. I bet he has a bad attitude. He's now out of a job. A judge down in the Atlanta area, they haven't said, but your district down there has lied and lied and lied and lied, and he's had an immoral relationship, or she, doesn't say whether it's a guy judge or a gal judge, but is now out of a job. Why? Because their steps were wrong. Don't be wrong. Put your steps down purposefully, and then you'll have that confidence in the Lord. Even in verse 11, when they have come, when the enemies have come past you about, and they got you surrounded, you'll have confidence that God is going to help you. Now, I know that students pray. Students just got done praying because it's been final exam time. And I remember as a student during final exam time praying, Lord, I have studied the material. I have done my best. I know that I have studied this. I can see it on the page. I know it's on the page. I know it's on the bottom left-hand side. I just can't remember what it says. And I would sit there. If the test time was an hour and 15 minutes, I would sit there until an hour and 14 minutes until the teacher said, you have 30 seconds to turn in your test.
And I would cry one more time, Lord, I've done what I could do, and I need your help. And I cannot tell you the number of times over the years in taking a test when with 30 seconds left before the final bell rang that the Lord said, all right. And the answer would come. And not because of who I am, because I'm a nobody. It's because of who he is. David understood that when the enemy had surrounded him, when there was no hope left, that he could trust in God. God would be his hope. And that just bears out his desperate need. And for the student, that might be a test. The tests become more, the repercussions become more serious as we get older. Here's a test. You're coming down to a mortgage day and there is not money in the bank, not because you squandered it by gambling, but because maybe you've been laid off or because the boss hasn't paid you, or maybe the boss wrote you a check and the check bounced. But due to no fault of your own, you find yourself with more month than money. Now, if you've squandered it, if you've been wasteful, if you've been out gambling with the money, then you cannot say with David, my prayer is going out without, not out of feigned lips. You have to say, Lord, I've been an idiot once again, and please overlook that one more time. But David is not in that spirit in this psalm. David is, hey, I'm living right, I'm doing right, I'm walking right, I'm talking right. And here, I'm right in the daytime, I'm right in the nighttime. And here, I want to be, verse 8, the apple of your eye. Here, I want to make sure that I am abiding under the shadow of thy wings. Keep me as the apple of the eye. What is that? You think about your eye. Your eye is protected. God keeps dust and dirt out by giving you some shades up above, and some of you have bigger. Now, I know some of you women pluck them out. Stop taking the protection away, right? God gave you eyelashes to filter out. God recessed these inside, and he put them in a place. Imagine if he put your eye on the end of your hand, and you're always reaching it in the meat grinder. That would not be good for your eyes. God put them up here and he recessed them with bones sticking out around them to help protect them. I sat at the dinner table this evening. I did not have my glasses on. And little Ezra said, where are your glasses? Where are your glasses? Well, these glasses help protect me. These have me new ones. Went to the eye doctor and the eye doctor looked at my glasses and she said, what have you been doing with these things? You need to take better care of your glasses. I said, well, I was doing a metal grinding project and I had the metal grinder and I was throwing all kinds of sparks and all kinds of metal filings and they flew in my face, but the glasses protected me. And she said, like I said, I'm glad you had your glasses on. I'm glad your eyes were protected. You want your eyes to be protected. Not feasting them on things that are going to destroy you or darken your heart or make you, once you're encompassed about your enemies, to say, yeah, I didn't see that coming. Because you've been deadened, darkened, out of focus spiritually. And so David says in the last verse 15, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I will be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. That ought to be your prayer. It ought to be my prayer. I have not arrived. I strive for that, as you should. I want to awake in God's likeness. Why? Because this world is full of trouble. People have trouble. Washington State, a paper mill plant, exploded. A lot of problems with dust, and dust is, you get a little static electricity, and kaboom, it goes. What's going on out there? One dead, nine missing. What is it? Desperate? Desperate. How much better it would be tonight for you to say, hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer, that goeth not out of feigned lips. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray that we would be challenged to do right and rightly, that we would, during this prayer time, search our heart, pray with each other, pray for one another, and they would hear our voice, they would hear us call their name in prayer, and they would be encouraged. May we bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ as we pray tonight in Christ's name. Amen.